take your Bible, go to the book of Proverbs. We are in chapter 2 today. For the next 6 weeks, we'll be looking at these first 7 chapters that all begin with the phrase, "My son." That's the title of the series that we're in Proverbs 1 through 7. My son, my son, my son. Now, Proverbs is not a haphazard book where you just take a verse and there's a proverb and there's a proverb and there's, you can read it that way, and there are all these kernels, if you would, like on a cob of corn. But together, they make the whole ear. Because in Proverbs, there is a story told that gives a challenge to a young man, and his challenge from the father to the young man, my son, is to be wise and to learn from his father and his mother. Proverbs 1:7, of course, is the keynote verse. It is the cornerstone. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so he's trying to give wisdom to this young man. And so that's what we're looking at in this series on My Son. It can be an earthly father to his children. It certainly was Solomon to his children. And of course, it is our Heavenly Father to all of us, if you are a son or a daughter. Now, everyone is not a child of God. You must be born again. You're a child of this world. John 8 says you're a child of the devil if you're not saved, because you don't know him. Your heart is dark. Your soul is in utter darkness. But when you're saved, the Spirit of God comes and the light comes on, and you're born again by the Spirit of God, and you become his son, his daughter, as you come to the Father. And so the Lord speaks to his children, and in our text today, it helps us discover the path of God that we should be taking down the journeys of our life. So we're in Proverbs 2. I'll read the first 9 verses, and you follow along as I read, because this now is the word of our great God. It begins, as I've said, "My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom and incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come forth knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. Guarding," and there's our word for the morning, "guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way," same word, paths, discerns and gives us, as he guards that, "he preserves the way of his godly ones," verse 9, "then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good path or course," the path, the way, the course of God. You ever face a life decision? This path or this path? This job or this job? This church or this church? This morning I prayed for a dear friend of mine who is about to make a life-altering decision to leave the path he's been on for 30 years and walk another path in God's confirming, leading, and faithful obedience. I sent him a text, and his wife as well, Say to him this day, I'm praying for you because I cannot fathom the emotion that must be involved with your changing a venue and being here and now God leading you here. He and his wife both wrote back to say early this morning, thank you. One of the hardest things we've ever done, but we have 100% confirmation is what God wants us to do. We have found the path of God. Amen. That's where you ought to walk. You should walk the path of the Lord. Now, you've got two paths. You can walk what God calls in verse 8, the paths of justice, what he calls in verse 13, the paths of uprightness, what he calls in verse 20, the paths of the righteous. There is a path of justice and upright and righteousness. You can walk God's way, or you can go the other way. God says in verse 13, you can choose to go in the path of darkness, the way of darkness, or what he calls in verse 15, whose paths are crooked. He calls us to the straight and narrow, but you can walk the crooked way. It's up to everyone in this room. You have a choice. It is set before you, this way or that way. Righteousness or crookedness. Obedience or faithlessness. And did you know, when you choose, not everyone will agree with you. Howdy do. But our ambition is not to please me. It is not to please you. Our ambition is to please the one who paid it all. You find his path, you walk in it. So the question this morning, how do you discover God's path? How do you know the way God would have you go? Well, he says, my son, I'm going to show you how to walk in God's path. There are three simple helps that I want to give you this day. And if you're facing a big choice, some of you are facing the decision, should I join this church? You should know. Those at Warrington are deciding, should I go to that next step table and today say, I want to be a part of this family here on the Warrington campus, Olive Church at Warrington, and you're trying to decide. Some of you are saying, boy, I'm lost. I'm without Christ. I went out here to the baseball park yesterday. After being here with our Sunday school leaders, I went out. There was a friend of mine. I had not talked to him in a long time. He was there that. And I said, what are you? He said, we have grandchildren playing in the Olive League. I said, wonderful. He's not a Christ follower. And I put my arm around. He said, what are you doing here today, Pastor? I said, well, I'm just here to persuade people to get saved. That's why I'm here. I don't have any grandchildren playing ball. I just come to talk to grandparents. That's why I'm here. And I said, I got a seat for you tomorrow. Easter would be a great time to come. He has a choice. He can choose to follow the Lord or not. Now listen to me. Going to church is not all there is to being a Christian. Just coming here is not all. But being a Christian includes coming here. It certainly is not all of it. Matter of fact, you can come here and not be a Christian. But if you follow the Lord's path, part of his path will then be through those baptismal waters, and his path will be to put your life in a church. Be faithful in it. It's not all there is to it, but it's certainly part and parcel of what we do. Well, how do we? Well, let me three helps that he outlined. Number one, if you're going to find the path of God, first of all, pursue the Scriptures. Pursue the Scriptures. He says in verses 1 and 2, what a great day for this to be our text. And Brother Jack is here with the Gideons. Oh, to give the word of God away. My son, if you will receive my words, treasure my commandments. Verse 2, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understand. Pursue the Word of God. Open the Bible, and the Bible will answer 95% of your questions about which path to go down. It just, black ink on white paper will tell you what to do. How do you pursue the Scripture? He gives us four helps, principles that are here. Number one, receive the Bible. He said, if you receive my words, just welcome it. Just welcome it. Just say, I receive the Word of God. I welcome it. Therefore, I read it day by day, and I just put it in my life. I welcome the Bible. Receive the Bible. Number two, treasure the Bible. He says, treasure my commandments within you. Oh, amen. Yes, sir. Like a safety deposit box. You have a safety deposit box with that funky key. Looks weird. You got to have two keys going there and turn it. You put your stuff in the safety deposit box. You put stocks and bonds, put precious jewels. Take your great-great-grandmother's little diamond earring and you put it in there and you save it to give it to your grandchildren. You got an old letter opener that your grandmother used to use, and you don't dare use it. You put it in a safety deposit box. Why? Because it's precious. You treasure those things. Friend, you ought to treasure the Word of God. Receive it, but then treasure His like it's gold and silver. He's going to tell us a little bit more about that later, but you treasure the Word. Thirdly, you listen to the Bible. Look at it, verse number two. Make your ear attentive to wisdom. Listen. Open up your ears. Turn your phone off. Turn it off now. Amen. A few more of those will help the preacher today. Preacher's preaching. Tennessee plays at 11:30. I'll be watching Brother John in the second service. Let your wife look at it and write down the score for you every now and then. All right. You got to treasure the Word of God, but then you got to listen to it. Just put everything else out of the way. Early in the morning, read the Word. Come to church, bring your Bible. Spend time just with the Bible. I'm here to tell you, if you want to know God's path for your life, receive this book, treasure this book, listen to this book, and then fourthly, apply the Bible. Apply the Bible. Look what he says right there in verse number two. Incline your heart. Incline your heart to understanding. That word incline in the Hebrew tongue is the word nata, N-A-T-A, nata. And it literally means to stretch out, bend, or bow. When you say incline, I think of an incline that you're going up, but that's not this word at all. When he says incline, it means to stretch out. It's like you get on your face before God, and you incline your heart, and you say, God, not my will, but yours be done. And you say, Lord, I bend myself there. And you say, Lord, I want what you want, not what I want. I want my heart to be inclined in your way. I want it to be bent and bowed and stretched out before you. You must translate your theology into shoe leather in that verse. It's not enough to know it in your head. Now you got to bend and say, God, I'll go where you tell me to go. Most decisions in life are pretty clear cut. But there are some, I'm telling you, they're hard. There'll be people who stand against you for doing it. You've got to find the peace of God through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, and say, I'm going to stand with God and God alone if need be. It's what David had to do. You remember that day that he walked down and took his brother the wine and cheese? Jesse sent him down and said, go look after your brothers. He walked up there, and here came old Goliath, 9'6". Wouldn't somebody love to have him in the Sweet 16? He stepped out there, and when Goliath stepped out, everybody else stepped back, except one little shepherd boy. He said, somebody not going to deal with this uncircumcised Philistine? And Saul, the king, said, go get him, boy. Oh, David's all alone. Yet he stands in the path of God. Takes that sling, you know the story. He throws a rock, hits him in the head, and he falls. That rock didn't kill him, just knocked him out. He fell on his face. The Bible says David took the sword of Goliath and cut his head off. That did the trick right there. He found the path of God and stood in it. When everybody else was backing up, he stood and found the path of God. And here we are thousands of years later. We're not talking about any of those people that backed up. We're talking about one that stood up. If you want to make eternal impact, find the path of God and stand. With a backbone like a saw log. Don't let anybody tell you no, that you can't do it. When God says amen, don't you dare back up. Those are hard days sometimes. God calls you to a path. Usually just a few of those in your life. But they are turnstiles that make all the difference. Or sometimes we get on the wrong road and we got to repent and get off of it and go a different way. Surely we do. But when you know the mind of God, stay there. Pursue the Scriptures. Pursue the Scriptures. It's the first help to find that. Secondly, not only you pursue the Scriptures, but then he says persist in prayer. Look at it in verses 3, 4, and 5. He says, for if you cry out, it's praying for discernment. Lift your voice for understanding. Seeker like silver. Search for like hidden treasure. Then you'll discern the fear of the Lord. You discover the knowledge of God. You persist in prayer. First of all, you pursue the Scriptures. Then you begin to persist in prayer. Three things you do there. First of all, you cry out. There are a lot of people crying out today. A lot of protesters in our world. It's amazing how much protesting goes on in our world. College campuses today, downtown Pensacola. Did you see those fools the other night downtown on Palafox? There's a place down there, and they were coming in, and they were protesting people eating meat. When I go out to eat, I eat meat. My wife doesn't, but I do. And the people were coming in and screaming and crying, you shouldn't do that. And my Lord. I'm amazed at what people protest. They lift up their voice, cry out. I'm amazed at what other people will celebrate. They scream and cry. But what this text says, you ought to lift up your voice and cry out to be wise men. Say, oh God, show me your way. You got to cry out. Secondly, you got to look up. He says here, if you seek for this discernment like silver and search for as hidden treasure. Look up to God. He's the treasure. Have you ever studied the gold rush? I was amazed when I began to look into the gold rush this week. I just thought there was one of those, that we all went west and went to California, and that's one of the reasons that they have what's called Death Valley in California, because so many people died. And there's other things about Death Valley that because of the heat, and of course we have Death Valley at Clemson and over at LSU, and they use that for football, and they talk about it. But Death Valley in the gold rush was people, they sold their life. They risked their life. But there are many, many, many occasions in history all across Europe and several times in North America where there was a gold rush. And people rushed to get the treasure. Dear friend, you ought to be in a gold rush. Because the gold standard of wisdom is God Himself. You cry out to Him, then you look up to Him. That's where the treasure is. Look up, oh God, lift up your eyes, lift up your face. Your redemption is drawing nigh. Cry out, look up. And then verse 5 says, bow down, you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. When you come to Him to discern, and you just fall on your face. Now tonight, I'm going to ask you to pray with me. I'm going to pray all night tonight. I'm going to start at 11 o'clock. I'll be in the evening service. That's John Huff to preach tonight. Our college ministry is going to serve and bless us in the evening service, 5:30. Hope you'll come. Boy, John's a great teacher of the Word of God and what's going on. And then I'm going to go home and take a little nap. And at 11 o'clock, I'm going to my office and lock the door out behind my house. And I'm going to pray from 11 to 6. And I want to invite you to pray with me tonight. I want you to pray for revival in our church and in America. I want you to pray for Easter. We're 4 weeks from Easter. I'm praying God give us over 6,000 people on this campus for Easter, on Easter morning, small groups and in the large group here, and that we come in and pray God move and people get saved. Pray for the lost souls, people that you're one, who's your one, and cry out their name unto the Lord. Pray for the power of God to come on the church. And here's what I'd like you to do tonight. In your worship guide, I've given you a suggestion. You don't have to do it then, but I've suggested the hour that you would join me pray. According to what your birthday month is, if you January, February, pray from 11 to midnight. If you're March and April, midnight to 1 o'clock. You see that right there on the front of your worship guide. Just find when your birth month. Mine's in December, so I'd get the 5 o'clock call if it were there. And what I want to ask you to do something for me. If you join me, and you don't have to go by that may not fit you or you can't do that, but in sometime between 11 and 6 you could pray. Just find you a time, hour, 30 minutes, and pray with me. And when you start, just go to pastor@olivebaptist.org. Send me an email with a couple of prayer requests, and I'll pray for you whenever you text me tonight. Whenever you email me tonight, I'll pray for you. Now, I'm not going to email you back. I'm not wanting to talk to you. I'm going to talk to the Lord about you. All right? So don't look for me to respond. Just send me an email. Pastor, pray for this and pray for this. And I'll during that hour that you're praying, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to cry out to the Lord. And I'm going to pray all night tonight. You say, how are you going to stay awake? Well, I'll be all right. I'm going to stay awake because you're going to email me. I'll hear that buzz. I'll break up. All right? So what I do for an hour, just take the Word of God. Take the book of John. Just begin to pray through the book of John. Just read a verse and ask God to show you what to pray for. Because if you just start praying in about 10, 12 minutes, you'll be done. Take the book of Proverbs. Take the 24th chapter on the 24th day. Tomorrow will be the 25th. You start, just take the 25th chapter of Proverbs. Just begin to pray verse by verse through and ask God to show you what you need to pray about. I've given you 4 or 5 things. Revival, Easter, lost souls, power of God. Pray about sin in your life. Probably take you 3 or 4 minutes right there. Some of you I know, 10, 12, all right? Just get clean before the Lord. Just set your clock. Find you a quiet place. Send me an email. You don't have to send me an email. It's all right if you don't. It just something to help me to pray during that hour. I'm telling you, friend, if you'll persist in prayer, God will show you the path you should walk. If you'll ask Him, He'll answer. You have not because you ask not. Oh, when the church gets dry-eyed and prayerless, we'll get stale and sterile. Oh, that God would move us. He'll set a fire in our heart if we'll pray, pray, pray. Amen. So we pursue the Scriptures. We persist in prayer. And then thirdly, verses 6, 7, and 8 tells us that we must love the Lord Jesus. If you'll pursue the Scripture, if you'll persist in prayer, and then if you will love the Lord Jesus, I'm here to tell you that He will show you the path to walk in every step of the way. Look at it in verse 6. For the Lord, there He is, the Lord gives wisdom. He'll show you which way to go. From His, that is the Lord's mouth, comes knowledge and understanding. Verse 7, He, that is the Lord, stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He, in verse 7, is the shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice. And He, that is the Lord, preserves the way of His godly ones. And then, oh hallelujah, look in verse 9. Then you will discern righteousness. You'll know what's right. You'll find the right thing to do, righteousness. and justice. Oh, we live in a world today that this word is used a lot, but it's not used by itself. It's usually used by itself in Scripture, but Americans want to call it social justice. God doesn't call it social justice. He calls it justice. God does the right thing every time in every case. It's not just in our social life. He shows righteousness, and He'll show you how to be righteous. Then He'll show you how to be just, verse 9, and equity. How to be fair. It's called equality. Equity in our life. How that we're the same to every person. You know, it's easy to judge folks just when you see them walking down the road, isn't it? There's some people that walk all over this campus. I see the same people week by week by week. And it's easy just to kind of get your heart to be a little hard and say, man, I wish they'd do something else. Do you know why every person that you run into is important? I'm telling you, because they are a creation of God Almighty. I don't care if they've got 10 million or 10 cents. They're a creation of God just like you. And you need to show equity to that person. I took my wife out to dinner. Matter of fact, I took her the last two nights out to dinner. Took high dollars last night. Went where she wanted to go. Amen. Went to Waffle House. Amen. Saturday night at Waffle House, a good night to go. Not many people go till late in the evening. You can get right in there. There's not many people's food in this town's worth standing in line an hour to get to. So we went there, and then right across the street from one we were, there's a dollar store. I'd never been to the dollar store. Never, ever. And I made a vow that I ain't never going again. Just for all you guys, it cost you more than a dollar to get out of there. I just tell you. But I'm going to have me some fun at lunch today because I found silly string for a dollar a can. Oh, my granddaughters love silly string. I don't know how many I bought, but I got a bunch of them. And I'll be the hero of the lunch. Yeah, amen. And when we checked out, I noticed the lady's voice was a little different. I said, where are you from, man? She said, I'm from France. I said, what brings you to Pensacola? She said, well, we moved here a few years ago. And she pointed her finger. She said, you're a preacher. I said, yes, ma'am. I'm in the dollar store buying silly string. I'm a preacher of the gospel. She said, my daddy's a preacher in France. I said, well, she said, my son comes to your church. I said, well, amen. I said, you ever come? She said, no, I can't. She said, this is my second job. She told me where she worked her first job and she worked her second job. I'm telling you, God broke my heart. She works morning, noon, and night. Just put her boy through school. I already had this sermon ready to go. When I walked out of there, I said, Lord, thank you for the reminder of the Holy Scriptures that lady from France and this boy from Alabama stands on common ground before you. Lord, I got more in my 401 than she's got. I don't even know if she has 104. Lord, I'm not having to work two or three jobs to put my kids. But I know this, Lord, you love her and died for her just like you love me and died for me. It'll make you look at folks different if you ever get over yourself. Hey, this old preacher doesn't bat 1,000. I don't even bat 500. I can be as judgmental as you. Well, not some of you, but most of you, I can be as judgmental as you, all right? I'm just telling you, the Spirit of the living God will show you righteousness, justice, equity, and then, look at that, end of verse 9, every good course. Hallelujah. He shows you every path that you ought to. Now listen to me this morning. Listen in this room. Don't you dare go out the door. Listen to me. Those of you that sit here and you are without Christ, you're lost, you don't know if you'd die and go to heaven today. You just don't know that you're a Christian. Set before you today, it is set before you two paths. He has set before you the broad way and the narrow way. The broad way is your way that leads to death and destruction. The narrow way is the way of Jesus and eternal life, and it sits before you an open door. Choose you this day whom you will serve. I made a choice at 10. I said, Lord, I'm going your way, and I stepped on the straight and narrow path. I've not always walked straight, and I've not always walked narrow, but I've been going in God's direction. When I decided to marry my wife, there was a man who said to me, this is how you can discern if you should marry the person that you are dating. He said, when you are going in God's direction, full bore, obedient unto God, when you look out the window of your life and you see someone who looks good to you and you have the heart flutter, if they are going your direction, same speed, same way, that is a candidate for marriage. And I looked out the window of my life and I saw Elizabeth Bennett, and she was walking the way I was walking, in the direction I was going, the speed I was going. And I said, dear God, help her look out the window. Amen. Friend, your path and your direction is vital to your life. If you're not a Christian today, you ought to run down this aisle and say yes to Jesus. You ought to run to that next step table at Warren. You ought to go to the next step table here at the broadcast campus and say yes. He has set before you the broad way, the narrow way. The Bible also says He has set before you life and death. He set before you life and death. You choose destruction or vitality, life or death. He's set before you. There are two roads, there are two paths, broad way, narrow way. There's life, there's death. You choose it for your family. You choose it for your business. You choose it for your own life. You go God's way, you have life. You go the other way, you have death. He has set before us a broad way and a narrow way. He set before us life and death. He has set before you obedience and disobedience. You choose today, I'm going to obey God or I'm going to disobey God. Which one is it for you? He has set before us the faith walk and the sight walk. Oh, yes. So many people. It is so much easier to live the sight walk. But God didn't call us to walk by what we see. He called us to walk by faith. Faith counts as if it is so when it's not so in order it can be so. We don't walk by what we see. We walk by what we see by faith. I love it in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Joshua's dealing with his people. He's following after old Moses. Man, how'd you like to have been the pastor of Moses' crowd after he resigned as a pastor? Lord, they've been out there 40 years. He comes to be the pastor of that crowd. God, help him. And he says, if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you're going to serve. If you're not going to serve God, then make up your mind. Whether the gods which are your fathers served, which were beyond the river, those folks back in Egypt, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, bless God in Jesus' name, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said, I've made up my mind. I've chosen my path. I'm going God's direction. This week I was in Nashville, Tennessee. I flew up Thursday morning for a pre-Southern Baptist Convention meeting and was there in the Baptist building. Brother Jerry, a Korean pastor, walked up to me, and in his broken English, he said to me, "How is Dr. Passmore?" And I said, "He's as mean as ever he was." That's what I told him. He laughed, I laughed. I said, "Oh, he's faithful and encouraging to me. He's my dear friend." He said, "I am a product of Olive Baptist Church." I said, "Say what?" He said, "Just before you came, and just before Dr. Passmore left to go to the Florida Convention, I was in the Korean mission that met at Olive Baptist Church." And he said, "One of the last things the church did with Dr. Passmore there is that they ordained me to the gospel ministry." And he said, "For these now 30 years, I've been out serving, and I am the first Korean to ever serve on this committee of the Southern Baptist Convention. And your church did it." I said, "Glory be to God." I told him, I said, "We've torn down the building, but," I said, "till we tore it down, we could still smell the kimchi." Ooh-wee. Boy, they cook that rotten cabbage. That's what I call it. I don't know what it is. I didn't eat it, but boy, I could smell it. He laughed, and I laughed. I said, "Yeah, where you guys at meet?" See, what happened is the church here had nothing to do with me. The church, Olive, chose a path and said, "We will reach that community." And unknown even to us today, 30 years later, is a young man serving and helping touch the Korean culture with the gospel. Why? Because somebody made a choice. And not only did this church, that young man heard the call of God. He could have walked away from it. But when God said, "I'm calling you to," he said, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." And he's been serving, serving, serving. Friend, let me tell you, when God calls you and you decide life or death, faith or sight, obedience or death, when you decide to go God's way, after you have pursued the Scriptures, after you've been persistent in prayer, and after you've fallen in love with the Lord and said, "God, not my will, but thine be done," I'm here to tell you, Isaiah says, you will hear a voice behind you that says, "This is the way. Walk in it. Walk in it." Life is filled with those. I don't have time. I was hopeful I would, but Brother Jack took my time. I don't have time to just tell you the forks in the road that I've had in my life. My mother's in this. So I'm so glad that years ago they decided to leave Detroit and open a little country grocery store. That was a fork in the road. And they prayed and God said, "Go there." Years later, I turned 10 and God called me and I was saved and I went God's way. And 7 years later, when God called me to be a gospel preacher, it stood before me, yes or no, right or left, obey or disobey. And I said, "I'll go God's way." And my mother and daddy encouraged me. We're about to close down every one of our Baptist bookstore, Lifeway stores. You've seen it. We've had them for years. My mother's in this service. She put me in the car after I was called to preach, drove me to Chattanooga, Tennessee, to the Baptist bookstore. And I bought Herschel Ford's Simple, well, I didn't, she did. We bought Simple Sermons from Mark and Simple Sermons from Acts from the pen of Herschel Ford. I still have those two books in my library, the first two preaching books ever I had. My mother saw me go down a direction. My mother decided we're going to go. And she said, no preacher can preach without some education. You got to sharpen your axe, and we know how dull you are, and we got to help you. I drove down 65. Brother John Dubois brought me home from Nashville the other day. I got to it, and there it was, Cordova, Alabama. I had to choose. I had to choose. In 1975, I had to choose to either be the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Cordova, Alabama, or go to Southwestern Seminary. I laid it before the Lord. God, what would you have me do? That's the biggest church I'd ever seen at that time. Man, they ran 300 in Sunday school. Had a big parsonage with 5 bedrooms. I set that before the Lord, Liz, and I prayed most of the night. I got up the next morning. I went out to get the paper, and there was a envelope taped to the door of our little apartment. My mother-in-law had gotten in her car and drove from Gunnersville to Springville, wrote me a letter, taped it on the door, turned around, and went back home. She said, I'm praying for you, and I believe God would have you to further your education, and I believe you should go to Texas, and that is my opinion. You do what God would have you do. We packed up our stuff and headed to Fort Worth. Life is filled with those. And I'm telling you, if you'll open the Word of God, and if you'll open up your life to prayer, and if you'll open up your spirit to His Lordship, He will show you the way.